worship, yeah? Yeah? There was a, we had a weekend community discipleship with all the youth groups in Nolensville, and that was something the worship leader said all the time, and they kind of asked me to say that. So, but we're so glad that you came to worship with us at Jenkins this morning. Are there any first-time visitors? I don't believe so. Are there any announcements? Okay. Outreach committee is meeting at 5. I was asked to make that announcement. Are there others?
Session is scheduled to meet at 6. I'll be here, but the snow is promising to come in. We don't know.
Okay.
Session meets at 6 unless we hear otherwise.
Okay.
Active session members, anybody else that wants to visit with us?
I have a few youth announcements. Triennium, we're going to start registering. They finally fixed all the issues, and we can start registering for that. So if you have a youth in the family that you think would enjoy a conference, there'll be about between 4,000 and 5,000 students there. The Atlanta trip for the middle schoolers, if you have any middle schoolers in the family, we set a deadline for last week, but there are still people saying, hey, I want to go. So if you can let me know today if there's any interest. In 2 weeks, we have the 30-hour famine, February 26th. We have set a goal as a youth group with the organization to raise $500, and every bit of that money will go to Haiti. I talked to them this week, and the money is designated to go to Haiti. So hopefully the youth will come up to you and ask you, and it's not for us. It's not for us to go on a trip or anything. It's to help the people in need in Haiti. Something really interesting, if you look in the bulletin under the upcoming youth events, at the bottom of the announcements, there's a heading, Ink and Blood. Pope John II High School in Henderson, Tennessee, they're having...
Hendersonville,
Tennessee. Oh, yeah. There's a typo. It's Hendersonville. They're having an exhibit. The Ink and Blood exhibit is coming to their school, and you can see what kind of things are in there. Things like the Dead Sea Scrolls and some rare English Bibles. It should be very interesting. I put the website for the exhibit and the website for the school to buy tickets. It's $15. It's kind of, I would say, this opportunity won't happen that very often. So if you're interested in history, you might enjoy this.
Patrick, a number of years ago, some of us attended a similar event in Murfreesboro, and it was educational, biblically, to say the least. And you could spend all day, I guess, or you could spend a few minutes there, but we enjoyed it. And I was blessed by it. I'd forgotten it, really, until this came up.
Are there any other announcements? Are there any prayer requests or praise reports? If not, let's take this time to pray in silence and welcome the lighting of the candles.
disease, that hope.
We are brought here today to be healed of our fear.
Heal us, Lord Jesus, with your love and power.
Come, let us receive the vision and healing, love of God.
Praise be to God, who continues to bless and restore us. Amen. Sometimes we think that our bad times are the only bad times, but that song opens about Elijah. There was famine, there was war, there was darkness, spiritual darkness, and God was still faithful even through that. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you today. We thank you that you're in control. And Lord, we thank you that someone came a long time ago for some of us and told us about you and how to come to you through Jesus, who is the Christ. And Lord God, some heard the word more recently, And they responded, and Lord, you have come to be our Lord and our God. We are your people. And Lord, we thank you that you receive us and bless us, save us. Lord, we thank you today that we can come to worship, and we pray for your Spirit to so guide us. We thank you for the choir who had come out real early to be at this service. And Lord, we just rejoice in their commitment to you. Bless them in every endeavor, Lord. Lord, the bumps in the road in your kingdom, we know that we can depend on you to help us get over them. Lord, where we are proud, we pray that you would humble us. But Lord, we thank you that you never forsake us nor leave us, that we belong to you. Father, we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus. Now praying as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be. No, I think we continue to stand, do we not?
Yes.
Continue to stand. Thank you.
take up my glory awake, psaltery in heart. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds.
To the point in our service to make our statement of faith. We're going to do this with the Apostles' Creed. It's either found on the screen or in page 716 or number 716 in your hymnal. If you follow along in unison. I believe
in God, the Father
Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth,
and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and dead and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
This morning comes from Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 29. You warned them to return to your law, but they became arrogant and disobeyed your commands. They sinned against your ordinances, by which a man will live if he obeys them. Stubbornly they turned their backs on you, became stiff-necked, and refused to listen. Prayer of Confession. 10 Commandments as a Guide to Confession. Select one of the 10 and pray silently. Friends, hear these words of assurance. On mountaintops and in valleys, in our hopes and in our hearts, God knows us better than we know ourselves. And God forgives us when we cannot forgive ourselves. By God's mercy, we are forgiven. By God's mercy, we are made whole. By God's mercy, we are equipped to serve others. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Turn, if you will, to hymn number 530. proclaim our forgiveness and salvation in song.
Sentence this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Will the ushers please come forward?
Go to God in prayer. Maybe many of you, or one or two of you, have an expression to offer before God in thanksgiving this morning. Anyone else? Lord God, we too thank you. And thank you for your faithfulness. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Our scripture lesson this morning will be read by three youth.
John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand.
Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God.
Romans 8:15-17. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Kathy, it's the first time we've seen you since your mother's funeral, and again, we express our sympathy, and God is faithful. Incidentally, I believe, if I can say this, they wanted to take extra measures for Kathy's mother, and she said, let me go to enter that heavenly realm. We rejoice with you in that aspect. Saved, saved, saved. Do you ever wonder if you are saved or not? Do you ever wonder if you're hell-bound or heaven-bound? Do you ever wonder, as a believer, if you have lost your salvation or if God has withdrawn it from you? Do you ever wondered if you have sinned to the point of passing the point of no return? Come this morning with words of assurance of the faithfulness of God to his people. Assurance of salvation, preservation of believers. Believers, trusters in Jesus, being preserved for eternity. Christians come into an assurance of their salvation. I went through hell, till I found assurance. And it was a seeking and a searching. And you may have similar testimonies or a similar testimony. And if you would share it, I will hear it. We will hear it. You ever wonder if your relationship with God is secure? You ever wonder if you're really saved from your sin? Every once in a while, still. I think it's Satan brings something to mind. You really wasn't saved from that, Larry. Some things that I enjoyed, but they were not right. But then I can claim, yes, Lord, thank you. You saved me from that too. You paid for that on Calvary also. Many people wonder about their salvation. Many people live in a world where they can feel saved today and lost tomorrow. Many churches teach this. Some time ago, as I was growing to the place of needing to take out some of my retirement money, and I think it's 70 when you have to take it out, been putting it away for about 40 years, and there wasn't much because I never put much away. But I shifted some money. Not sure if that was a good thing or a bad thing. But I bought the most safe thing, or almost the safest thing I could hear about, and learn about, was an annuity. Well, I think in 07, I guess it was, in 07, in September, I believe it was, I could be off a full year. I made the switch with a friend. Fellow minister. And by about June of 08, is that when it was, Kathy's in the bank? The bottom fell out. So my friend lives in Knoxville, and he would come to Nashville to talk to some of us, I guess to assure us every once in a while. And we get these reports, and it was down about more than a third. More than a third. And I had bought an annuity, did I say that? And with words of guarantee and all of this, but when the report came in, it didn't look like I had as much money 2 years later as I had started with. And so even as late as January, I had to say, now show me on paper on this year-end report how much money I really have if I die for Carol to get, or when I really get old that I can get out. And I said, what about this figure here? And he said, well, don't worry about that one. Look up here. And I hope he's right. He's not, folks, I'll be on your doorstep. Social Security probably won't do it, okay, but anyhow, what I was seeking is assurance that I could at least pay the light bill, electric bill. It was only lights when we started, and we still call it the light bill, I mean, the heat bill, the water bill, and buy a few groceries. Wanted to be sure of that. So, wanted to know. And some people are like that in their spiritual life. They want to know. And what I kept doing in my early life, even early ministry, was going and hearing preachers say, now, if you're not sure, they never would say you could lose your salvation, but they would say, if you're not sure,
And some said that, why did he go to those revivals, I guess? Those churches didn't have many revivals, I guess. I'm not sure what. But I still remember very vividly a revival in a neighboring church and the preacher going on and on. Are you sure that you've been saved? If you don't know for sure that you've been saved, you need to come to the altar and shake my hand again. Like he was a savior. Now, he really didn't mean that, but that could be interpreted that way. I think I've testified of this before. I've been to the altar many times. And anyhow, I needed that. Two trains of thought about salvation, if you can call them trains of thought. One is that you, or any person, can be saved and then lose their salvation. And the other train of thought is that once you are saved, it's forever. The popular phrase for that, I believe, comes from the Baptist fellowship more than any other, is once that you're saved, you're always saved. But we pick it up and use it too. But we really have things like security of believers. God preserves the believers. We Baptists and Presbyterians or Cumberland Presbyterians could not use the same phrases, could they? Though we're in the same business, but we have to distinguish ourselves, we think, oh my. I believe, and Presbyterian doctrine teaches, that the saved are saved for eternity. Or once we are saved, once we have trusted Christ as our Savior, that's for past, present, and future. People who are saved by the grace of God through their faith in Jesus, not just because we walked to the front of the church and shook hands with the preacher, that's really not being saved. That's just an outward expression of our desire to be saved, or our willingness to be saved, and that we are. That's outward expression. The people, though, who are saved by the grace of God through their faith in Jesus, His life, death, and resurrection, are saved for eternity. Don't yet say, what about? We're going to hope to get there. Others, though, believe that saved people can be saved today and lose their salvation. And both people, everybody I think that I know, that has any interest in religion and eternity and being saved and going to heaven instead of going to the devil, we all desire security of salvation or assurance of salvation. We desire to know that we are secure in our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Am I right there? All of us, we want to be right with God. We want to be saved, and we kind of want to know that we're saved. To me, it was much more relaxing, I think you can relax in Jesus, or maybe a better term is rest in Jesus' arms. Rest in Jesus' arm. I cannot prove the reason for my belief except what the Bible says. I probably will not know for sure if we're right or if they're right until we get to heaven. And go ask Jesus. We'll go together. Being one of those that thought you could be saved today and lost at the end of the day or before the end of the day was over. Maybe me and one of them can go together to Jesus and say, Jesus, now what about it? And he's going to say, I think, I told you while I was here on earth how it is. I told you how it is. And I'm glad both of you got here. I find that the Bible does teach the security of believers. We can be assured of our salvation. And I think it teaches it over and over. Yes, the Bible, God's Word, the infallible rule of faith and practice, supports my belief. And then it's a matter of faith.
a matter of faith in what the Bible says, but not only in what the Bible says, in who God is, in who Jesus is, and then the presence of the Holy Spirit that works within God's people. Now, to those who see the Bible as teaching that a person can't lose their salvation, I have to agree. There are certain verses, certain indications that might be the case. But the strongest one that I guess has concerned me the most in my life is Hebrews chapter 6. Let me just read from Hebrews chapter 6 here. And it's verse 4. Starting, but he's already talked about to the saved people. Let's move on to more serious doctrine. Let's quit playing around with the elementary aspects of our relationship with God. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, the basic principles, I guess he would say, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead works and faith toward God. We've done that, the Hebrew writer is saying, or he's saying to these he's writing to. And then he says, of the doctrine of baptism, and we've argued over that for how many hours and years and centuries, and of laying on of hands, we've argued about that one, haven't we? And of the resurrection of the dead, some still say, I can't believe in the resurrection. Others say, oh yeah, I do believe in the resurrection. And of the eternal judgment, we argue over that. Some say God's going to judge you pretty severely. And others say, no, a loving God really couldn't do that. Okay. But he says, move on to something serious and deep. And he says, and this we will do if God permits. And then in verse 4, I'm not sure he's moved on here, but listen to it and you be the judge. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they should fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. And I discovered in verse 6, it didn't say when they fall away, it says if they fall away. He didn't say that they really could, but he is saying, if they fall away. To me, at least, from my vantage point, from where I have come, it might be a possibility, but it's not when they fall away. When they fall away is almost predicting that they're going to. And if they fall away, okay, if they fall away, it's impossible, if they fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucify for themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. So that has been the passage that I've had to live with when people say, one of the passages I had to live with when people say, oh yeah, the Hebrew writer says you can fall away, Hebrews 6. And I can't deny that it's there. But verse 6 of Hebrews 6 says, if they fall away. Never did say that, certainly, even if they could. Also, the book of Galatians. Paul is writing to the church at Galatia, and he has gone and preached to them, and they said, yes, we're going to trust Jesus and Jesus alone for our salvation. Nothing that we do, not the Jewish laws, not the circumcision, not the observance of the seasons, etc., etc., etc. We're going to trust Jesus and Jesus alone, in essence, what they said. And then he goes on somewhere else, and he hears about what the Galatians are doing. They have gone back. And started, well, somebody came in and said, no, you're not really a Christian unless you do it. Still obey the old Jewish laws and observe the seasons and the festivals and all of that. And you got to be circumcised before you can even think about being a Christian.
So Paul writes him and says, Paul, what are you doing? You're going back. You're going back. And he calls them to forget this teaching of the Judaizers and to trust in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. And then somebody's going to say, well, what about those who appear by all accounts to be Christian and then they fall away? Well, the 1883 Confession of Faith has a phrase in the passage on preservation of believers, and I thought I brought a copy here, and it says, the truly regenerated will not totally fall away. I even tore the book up. One came apart, so I just pulled pages out of it. But I'd have to, thought I could just put my hand on it. Oh, the truly, it's .60, and every once in a while we refer back to old documents or statements. Page 39 in the 1883 confession, and it says, the truly regenerated will not totally fall away from the state of grace. And I thought that meant we were discussing this among a bunch of preachers one day, and they said, I quoted this. They said, oh, you don't want to quote that one. But I do. It meant a lot to me. The truly regenerated will not totally fall away. Now, who's the judge of somebody being truly generated? The individual and Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus Christ Himself. I want to say, number one, that Christians, believers, are not perfect. They're just forgiven. Some of you remember a bumper sticker of a number of years ago. You'd pull up behind the car at a red light and you'd see, Christians are not perfect, just forgiven. And some people may take that wrong, but that was saying, folks, we're not perfect, but God has forgiven us. I think it was saying to most of us that we're trying. I don't believe in bumper stickers myself. I had to clean them off in 1960 after an election, or 61 after an election. And I worked at the service station, and they were difficult to get off. And I've never had a bumper sticker. But anyhow, a lot of people did, and I read a lot of them. Okay. Some people expect Christians to be without sin. Well, they just haven't tried to live a Christian life among a bunch of infidels, have they? Or a bunch of other Christians. We lose our cool sometime, but we don't lose our salvation. We're not perfect. We'll never be perfect in this life. We said that a week or two ago. We were talking about, was it last week? Might have been last week. No, 2 weeks ago. The 24th. I'm sorry, the 24th. Talking about sanctification. But some believe that you can be perfect in this life. John calls on us not to sin. 1 John 2, I think it's verse 1. But then immediately he says, folks, I write to this to you so that you won't sin. But then he says, but if you do sin, he's writing to Christians too. If you do sin, knowing that sin is a part of a Christian experience because we lose our cool, we have sinful attitudes, we falter along the way, we stumble. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus. We've got Jesus, but we do sin. So let's run to Him. Run to Him. Another thing, we may displease God. We may deprive ourselves of some of the comforts and graces promised in the Bible. But the believer, the true believer, the one who is truly regenerated, okay, will never rest satisfied until we have confessed and are renewed again. Another statement, let me make. Believers, people, Christians who seek to know and do God's will, we may be assured of our salvation. And we rejoice in that hope, or I do. And I think I want to be a Christian. I've always, since
learned about Jesus.
Actually, since I learned about hell, don't tell anybody that I became a Christian too. It's a fire insurance policy. You've heard that before. But I didn't want to be separated from God, whatever it was like. We can be assured. 1 John 5:11, 12, and 13. This is the record. I know this one. God has given us eternal life. And that life is in His Son. He or she, who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son of God has not life. And then verse 13. This is written that you may know that you have eternal life. And I had invited the Son into my heart. I had confessed my sin, and Jesus said He had come and live with me forever and ever and ever. We need to know one thing. Our assurance depends on God, not on us. His power, His love, the nature of His covenant with us, the intercession of Jesus the Christ, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 6, verse 37 says that Jesus will drive none away who come to Him. King James Version uses the word cast out. He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. No way. Will you cast anybody away? Will you turn away anybody that comes to you, Jesus? He says, no way. He who comes to me, I will not drive away. He would stand and let them walk away. The rich young ruler, some other Pharisees that came to him. But if they would trust Him as their Lord and Savior, or if you want to say Savior and Lord and make Him Lord of their life, He would receive them. But He didn't run after them. He didn't beg them to come. He invited them. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. He didn't twist arms, but He invited. He kept the door open. He kept calling. He kept pleading. The Holy Spirit kept working in their lives. Our assurance of our salvation increases as we partake of the means of grace. Again, in Hebrews chapter 6. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, that's lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Folks, the truly saved will not totally fall away. How far can we go and still be saved? Can't. If we're truly saved, we're going to slip. It's a silly question. You know, it'll be somebody in the conversation, somebody asks a question, somebody will say, that's a good question. Well, I knew it was a good question or I wouldn't have answered. Ask it, right? What are they doing? I think I accuse them in my mind. You know, I say, they're just stalling for time till they can come up with an answer. That's a good question. And people beam, y'all, we've asked a good question. And that gives the answer of the question a little time there. Anyhow, that's a rabbit trail, isn't it? But who would want to try God's patience? Who would want to try, God, I'm going to go over here, you know, the children. I'm going to go over here. Yeah, can I take another step? Can I take another step? Well, we're adults. We're not babies. We're not children. We're not four-year-olds. If a person appears to be voted to be a devoted Christian and then turns away from all things of God, I don't know their heart. But we must wonder if they were really saved in the first place. I sat in the barber chair once, my first ministry, Basil, Arkansas, and there was a person in the church, devoted Christian, and the barber was a devoted Christian in that church, and they believed that you could be saved today and lost tomorrow. So this elderly wise gentleman there said, well, what about King Saul? And I hadn't forgotten that experience. I can see it all right now. And I thought I had a good answer, and I believe I did. King Saul was never really committed to the Lord. The Lord called him, but if you go and read that story, I at least can read in it that he never really said, I'm trusting the Lord. I'm trusting the Lord. He just kind of went along with the authorities. He went along with Samuel. And you may read it and get a different story out of it, or a different take on it, but that's fine. John wrote in 1 John 2, 1 and 2. Is that one of our passages? Be patient, please. My dear children, I write this to you so you will not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sin, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. Let me say this. There's a lot of difference in purposely sinning after we have trusted Jesus and slipping up. There's a whole lot of difference in purposely sinning and slipping up. Anybody who would dare to say, well, I've been saved and I'm going to do anything I want to and still be saved, something's wrong with that. But then they haven't never been saved. Or they haven't had their want-tos changed enough if they want to go out and do things that are in direct opposition to the Word of God and the will of God. When Christ lives in us, our want-tos even change to His way. Because it's no longer we who live, but He who lives through us. If we are tempted to wrong, we say no. That's what Jesus did. He was tempted to wrong. He said no. We resist the devil when he comes to us and invites us to partake of gross sin. We resist so he will flee. But so often people say, oh, come on in, devil. Let's sit down and have a little talk. Don't do it. Don't do it. Resist the devil and he will flee. That's what Jesus did. He resisted Satan, Luke chapter 4, and the devil moved. James, and the musicians will come. James, chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, but also verse 9 and 10. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can rest assured in you and your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amazing Grace 202, verse 1, 2, and 4. Maybe you would respond some way this morning to say, I just want to express my trust in Jesus, my trust that assures me of my salvation. Maybe one would come and say, I'm trusting Jesus the first time this day. Amazing Grace 202. What did I say? 1, 2, and 4. Tim, will you lead us? I once was lost.
Lord, it's really amazing that you even care for us. Your people, as your people, we have rebelled, and we have rebelled again and again. But you keep loving us, and thank you, Lord. And we pray for your Spirit to so empower us that we will honor you in all that we say, all that we do. Lord, when we don't, thank you for the Advocate Jesus, who speaks for us in his name.